Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store. Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And this is our first Listener Tales episode!
Woohoo! Yay! I had to think about my name there for a second. My brain was like, and I'm a chicken.
Who am I?
No, the fuck you're not. What?
I was busy thinking about...
Yep.
Just your brain.
Just... Meh, skirt.
Yep. So we want to keep doing listener tales. We've got just a few here for you today. But, like, if you have had a paranormal encounter or, like... something haunted, spooky shit, if you've had a brush with the true crime world.
If you fucked around with an Ouija board and you messed up and you want to tell us about it.
Anything like that. Like, if something spooky happened, if something crazy happened, like, we want to hear about it. Please send us more listener tales.
Even if it happened to somebody you know and they're okay with you telling that story,
yes.
That's cool too.
We can be discreet.
I could not use your name.
Absolutely. So, yeah, send listener tales to theeldritchestate@gmail.com, and you can just title it listener tale, and just type it up in, you know, your point of view, like, I was doing this, I went there, or my friend did this, we did that, and we will just read it narration style for you on the podcast and share your spooky tale. And we really like that because we get to hear more from you guys and share some extra content that, you know, isn't something that we've researched and, picked out. So it's like
Word.
New and fresh and different, and like I don't even know what's about to happen right now because we're about to read these tales.
Yep.
All right, so our first tale is from our friend Hannah. She says, I was on my way back from a vacation at the beach, and I remember vividly how happy I was, relaxed. It was one of those moments in life where you're like, ah yes, this is what it's all about. My partner at the time was driving us back home, about a 6-hour journey, and I had my feet propped up on the dash, sand still clinging to my ankles. We had left mid-afternoon, and the sun was baking everything in sight. The heat and post-vacation feel lulled me to sleep as the miles slipped by. I remember waking up with the sun behind us, but not yet down, and suddenly I was dying of thirst. The sandy feel, warm attitude I had turned into dry, scratchy, and incredibly uncomfortable.
Ugh.
Yeah, sorry. When you're reading someone else's writing, sometimes you get the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yes, you do. It happens.
Like, you know when you wake up and you've slept with your mouth open and you just want to stand under the shower until you've absorbed all the water?
When you start drinking and you go, Worder!
Worder! Your organs are like, ah, more.
That's the shit.
That's that good shit. She says, that was me. I told my partner I needed a drink ASAP, but we didn't have any in the car. We were driving through desert, which didn't help my whole dying of thirst attitude, and weren't within easy reach of civilization. I told him to take the next exit and we could stop at a gas station. The next exit we came to didn't seem promising. No signs, it wasn't clear if there even was anything just off the road, it wasn't even clear where the turnoff went. Just a mile marker with no name. As we got on the ramp, I thought I saw a building to our right, so we turned to explore. I remember hoping, please let that be a gas station because I am so unbelievably thirsty. The sun was getting close to setting, which would make things a bit cooler, but it was that awkward time of day when things start to be silhouetted and maybe you need your headlights on, maybe not. I also hate driving during that time of day where you're like, do I put my headlights on? Is the sun in my eyes? Can I drive this way? Do I need to stop and, like, not drive for 45 minutes because I can't fucking see?
I just let my car decide when the headlights should come on. I put that shit on auto, and I'm like, they'll come on when they come on. Hope I don't get a ticket.
Jesus, take the headlights.
Yep.
As we got closer, disappointment hit me as the gas station had a very abandoned look to it.
Ew.
The lights were off except for one. Maybe an emergency light? But because it was dusk, I was still hoping that maybe the lights looked the way they did due to the tinting and the sun.
Plus, when you pull off at an unmarked, like, not rest area, but, like, an unmarked exit, sometimes the gas stations you'd be finding are sketchy.
Well, like, let's talk about gas stations in general. Like, I don't think I've been to very many gas stations where I'm like, oh, this is nice.
We stopped at one in New Mexico, and I came out just horrified. I was like, that place has to be the beginning of a horror movie. Drive, go, go, go.
Yeah, or, like, you walk in and you're like, there's a disease in this room somewhere. I know it. Like,
I can smell it.
I can't touch anything. I can't stay in here breathing this air for too long. Like, I gotta go.
One of those where you get a solid quad workout from the squat hover because you don't want to touch the seat.
Facts. And you're like, I know I'm wearing shoes, but I feel like I need to clean my feet after walking on that floor.
Yep.
The station was in disarray. There was one car parked over in the desert near the station, but not at it, and no other cars. This gas station was clearly not open, but I was desperate. Check the door, see if it says open, I begged my partner. He pulled up right next to the door, got out of the car, and looked in the gas station. At this point, I don't know if it was the time of day or the abandoned feel, but I started to feel unsettled.
Ugh.
I know, I just, like, I got chills. At first, I thought it was just that I was so thirsty and this stop was not going to help that. But then I looked away from the station out my window and noticed some people hanging out by the one other car. My first thought was, maybe they have water!
I love her.
I mean, we've all been there though, right? Another thing that happens to me is, like, maybe I don't have water, but I have, like, Gatorade or lemonade or something.
And it makes you fucking more thirsty.
Thirstier, because of the sugar, I'm sure, and you're just like, oh, I need water. I need water.
I need real water.
Just pure unadulterated water. Gluten-free water.
Organic bird.
Non-GMO water. This was immediately replaced by that unsettling feeling growing stronger. Ooh. I don't remember exactly how many people there were, maybe around five, but they were walking towards our car, and something about how they moved was different.
No, no.
Oh, no.
No, 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 no. No. I hate this.
Very spooky.
I'm imagining, like, spider-like walking. Mm. I don't know what kind of walking I'm supposed to expect, but I expect them to move all spindly and weird like a Tim Burton character.
Yeah! Or, like, yeah, they're super tall, super long arms and legs, and, like, a real big head, real skinny neck.
It's an alien. Is Ooh, it an alien?
It's the aliens.
I didn't read it. Is it an alien?
I will continue reading. It says, kind of like they were gliding, maybe?
Ooh.
Very smooth movements. I called my partner's name, and he heard something in my voice, maybe fear, and turned to get back in the car. The sun was almost set at this point, so it was getting dark, and the people seemed to be shadows converging on us. I don't remember them saying anything, but it was clear they were headed for us.
I hate it.
Yep.
I hate it very much.
Also, I've, like, never heard you tell this story, Hannah. This is very interesting. Thank you for sending this in. My partner didn't like the idea of us being outnumbered in the desert near an abandoned building, and I remember him getting in the car and shifting quickly to get the car turned around. Afterwards, he shared that he too felt some weird energy. As our car turned around, the headlights flashed on the people and they stood there, watching us. Their eyes reflected the light back, giving a haunting image that imprinted in my brain, similar to those spooky images you see online of the sheep that were all looking at the camera. Just eyes staring out of the dark.
Ew, like gleamy eyes coming out of trees.
Yup.
Yuck.
My partner sped up immediately, and we turned back down the road and got back on the freeway, asphalt racing beneath our tires. That was wild, I said out loud. He increased our speed and said, human eyes don't reflect like that.
No, the fuck they don't.
I remember fear running through my body at those words, and I was no longer thirsty.
Ew.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the part about the eyes reflecting, though. Like, there's only certain animals that have that quality to their eye where,
like,
it reflects.
Cats.
Sheep. Demons.
Demons.
It's a diamond. No, but yeah, good on you guys for getting the fuck out of there, because, scary.
Yeah, you don't fuck around and find out in a situation like that.
Glad you're safe.
Thanks for living, you're rad.
Thanks for sharing your listener tale.
I'm I'm a little stressed.
Stressed.
Okay. I have our next one. This is from our listener, Sean. He starts with, I've told you both in person how much I've enjoyed the show so far.
Thanks.
Thanks. And I would absolutely love to share my minor spooky experience with you and hopefully your audience too. Thanks. It's happening.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Many thanks. Around 8 years ago, I was an overnight janitor in Flagstaff, which, like, that's a spooky place to be, an overnight janitor with all its spooky history.
I mean, yeah, that's where we did our Hotel Monte Vista episode, and we talked about how, like, the whole fucking town of Flagstaff is haunted.
And connected by creepy, spooky, origin-less tunnels.
Yep.
I was responsible for cleaning a few buildings, but the absolute spookiest was the Aquaplex.
Can confirm.
Have not been in there. Don't want to go in there. Not going in there.
Don't do it.
The Aquaplex is a two-story gym and pool complex. Oh, wait, no, I think I have been in there. But not the pool part? Maybe just the gym part?
I think when you went up there, the Aquaplex was closed because they had just opened the new gym.
Oh, so I probably went to the new gym.
Yeah, the new rec center.
That was when I was on my tour de shoeless in Flagstaff. during the day, this place is magical. The first floor has two full-size basketball courts, a rock wall, meeting rooms, and pool facilities for all age groups. It also boasts a three-story water slide that spirals outside of the building. That's fucking cool, because it can. upstairs has all of the gym equipment and machines, a quarter-mile track, and a multi-purpose workout room.
Yeah, and... yeah, I've been there, and it's just always buzzing with activity. Like, there's tons of people in there working out, laughing, having a good time. There's, like, group classes, meetings, and then just, like, you know, the sounds of people working out, listening to music or splashing or whatever. Clank,
clanking.
Yeah. It's very lively.
But during the day is not when the overnight janitor shows up.
Sure ain't.
I do not want to be in a, like, a busy, bumbling building like that when it's fucking quiet. That has to be creepy.
I've only worked one overnight job, and it was with dogs, so I can't imagine doing something where it's, like, spooky quiet, like, nothing going Warren. On. Like, the worst you had to deal with was, like, there'd be one dog that wouldn't go to sleep and was just like, oh!
And you'd be like, it's always like a distressed beagle.
You'd be like, Hershey, go to sleep. You're bothering everybody else.
Well, okay, but that dark ass creepy fucking corner that we called the dungeon,
yeah,
that had to be scary at night.
So we had, in the doggy daycare place that Katie and I used to work at, there was like A, B, C, and D sections, and then A and B were like the biggest, they were really well lit, they were the most trafficked, and then C was like for the slightly more expensive rooms, and then D was like all these rooms that faced a wall.
It was dark too,
and it was not well lit. Yeah, and we called it the dungeon because of that, but it was mostly, we wouldn't really put any dogs back there unless it was a dog who is like highly reactive. Like if they have dogs walking by their room all the time, they're gonna just get stressed out by barking at the dogs and like working themselves
they
up.
Need like a dark calm,
they need a dark, serene calm place. Isolated. They can chill out. Yeah, so we would have to go back there and clean sometimes, and there'd be, like, no one around, and you'd be like, oh my god, it's so quiet and dark.
It was a little creepy in that section.
Spooky, yeah. I do remember one time I was working the overnight over there, and we were sitting in the kitchen area, which is, like, slightly separated from the rest of the doggy daycare facility.
And fun fact, not on camera.
Yes. And we were making the breakfasts, because it was, like, the middle of the night, and we were like, oh, we'll just pour out the dog food for them to have their breakfast once 6 a.m. rolls around. And all of a sudden, this Doberman walks by the open door.
Where the fuck did you come from?
Me and the girl that I was working with, we, like, looked at each other, and we, like, looked back out the door, and we were like, was that a dog that just walked by? Because everyone's supposed to be asleep in their rooms. And she was, like, the sweetest, most docile little Doberman. And she had just, like, somehow nudged her door open.
Let herself out and took a stroll.
It wasn't latched or something. And yeah, she was. She was just ambling around, visiting everybody. You know, there's, like, there's dogs that would be, like, ah! Like, barking in other dogs' faces, or running around, or pooping on the floor. But not Gracie. She was just, like, do-do-do-do-do. So we, like,
what else
go
is
and get
here?
Her. Put her back in her room, and she's just, like, okay.
Bye.
That was about the worst I ever had to deal with on the overnight.
I have a feeling this is not calm like that.
No, no cute puppies in this story.
This is a massive, echoing building with open-air windows from the second floor down to the basketball courts on one side and the lobby or rock wall on the other side.
Oh, so, like, yeah, big and echoey, but also those open-air windows, like... And it's always fucking windy in Flagstaff.
And it's
always
open to let the goddamn demons
in. The demons are gonna float in.
The front of the building is nothing but two-story windows with a view of the quiet city and infinitely dark forest.
Can confirm.
Hard pass. The pool pumps were left on every night, so cleaning the locker rooms was accompanied with the sounds of splashing and laughing children. Why was there children?
I think he means during the day.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck?
Like those disembodied children from the forest.
I hate it. Sorry.
Nope.
At some point, everyone I worked with had a ghost experience in this building. Not surprised.
Which is interesting, because I think it was a new build. But then again, Flagstaff is haunted as fuck.
And what the fuck was it built on?
Mm.
Mm. Mine happened late into the night while I was cleaning the track upstairs. I had gotten used to the sounds of the building, so I recognized the rattle of the locker room doors opening. No. The elevator opened and closed downstairs, and the elevator doors open and close upstairs. I figured my partner was cleaning the locker rooms and needed me for something, but by the time I had got around to the corner to meet up, I heard the elevator head back down, doors open, and a moment later the rattle of the locker room doors again. I missed her. Oh well, must not have been anything important.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You're like, you know your coworkers' patterns, and you're like, oh, I was gonna, oh no, they must have, like,
guess you changed
on.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Then, through the echoing hallways, I heard my partner singing along to her headphones in the lobby. On the other end of the building.
Ooh.
I hate it.
Yeah, I have chills again. You guys are good.
Thoroughly spooked, I took the stairs downstairs to check in with my partner. She was just finishing the front and was about to start the locker rooms. She hadn't even been down the hallway yet.
Oh, no.
I hate it.
Oh, no.
Oh. Previously, one coworker reported getting grabbed by something while alone in the locker room. See, that's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'm never going in there by myself.
Yep.
Ever.
Or I just quit. Like, you know what? I don't need this job. It's fine.
I worked at a movie theater that was like an older movie theater. And there was one theater that they always tried to fucking make me clean by myself. And so, like, everybody knew somebody died in there. And I'm like, fuck you.
Oh.
I will go home.
Yeah.
I don't need your minimum wage to have a demon attach itself to me.
It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it, sis.
I mean, honestly, that was, the no was as hard as them asking me to clean up vomit.
Yeah. Like,
that's not happening. You can go fuck yourself.
Katie doesn't do vomit, for the
record. At all.
Like, I've been told that if I puke in front of her, we can't be friends anymore.
Dispose of the entire friend, it's not good anymore. Like, somebody puked in our men's bathroom not too long ago, so now I can never use our men's bathroom again. Which, why would you use the men's bathroom, Katie, you ask? Because I identify as someone who uses the cleaner bathroom.
Well, that and, like,
also
similar to
maybe
your
disrespectful,
situation.
But our women's bathroom is disgusting.
Well, and the women's restroom is much more used in a place like where you work.
Yep.
And in a place like where I work. Like,
it's gross.
98% of our staff is female. And so they changed the sign on the men's restroom to say, like, unisex bathroom, basically. Like,
yep.
Anybody can use this bathroom. And then they put a little note underneath it. They were like, sorry, guys. Because, like, there's, like, four guys on campus that might use the men's restroom. But
yep.
Sometimes you only have 2 minutes between classes or before you have to go pick up your class, and you're like, I gotta go now, and I don't care what kind of restroom this is.
Yup. Another had to return to the building after forgetting a bag there, which, like, you know some scary shit's gonna happen. You're like, ah, fuck, I forgot my car key. I gotta go back in. That's always when bad shit happens in the movie.
I weigh it in my head, too. I'm like, how bad do I need this bag right now? Like,
I'm gonna be
could
back
I
here
wait
tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Yeah. I hate having to go back for stuff because I feel like something's going to happen.
Yep. From the parking lot, they saw the silhouette of a man standing on the second story walkway. With a manager, they did a full sweep of the building just to find it empty and fully locked up. Compared to them, I'm happy I only have a locker room ghost that got a little lost.
Friendly little ghost who got a little lost.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be happy that I just had a locker room ghost.
Yeah. You know. Another good one. Thank you, Sean.
Yes. Thank you very much. That was the first one we had sent to us, too.
Yay! So Sean wins a special prize for being the first ever listener tale.
Yes.
All right, and then our last one here is from our friend Ryan. He says, when I was 18, so like 13 years ago, my brother lived in a small apartment off Hardy and University where I used to spend all my time. It was definitely not the safest part of Tempe.
Can confirm.
Yeah, if you're not from Arizona, Tempe is more of like a college town here. And there's like equal parts people experiencing houselessness, drug activity, and poor college students. Like,
yep.
There's a lot going on.
It's all stirred up. It's a melting pot.
Yeah, because you'll have the college kids who are like going to the bars and walking around downtown. And then you'll have these other like not so nice people, some shady characters roaming the streets. And you can't tell who's good and who's not.
Not completely savory.
Yeah. One day, I was there, and we could see his car lights going off through the window of his apartment. So my brother grabbed his baseball bat and ran out to find a guy sitting in his car with his entire sound system and dash all torn up and sitting on his front passenger seat.
Oh.
I guess that's how this guy was trying to hotwire his piece of shit car.
Huh.
So then he saw my brother running over and got out of the car and ran away and said, "Sorry, bro." So that gives you an idea of the type of area that Hardy and University was at the time.
Okay, yeah, because first of all, you see someone near your car and you charge out with a baseball bat, like, first instinct.
Well, and like, how the fuck are you gonna just get up and run away and be like, "Sorry, bro, I was trying to fucking steal your car." Or your sound system. That happens a lot out here.
Yep.
My boyfriend had that happen once. They smashed the windows of his car and just took the sound system and, like, the subwoofer he had in the back.
That's so rude.
It was rude, because his car was nice. Yeah. Don't be a fucking thief.
Don't How be about that? A stealer.
And it's, like, something like that, too. Like, you don't need that car.
No.
You know, if somebody stole, like, food because they're like, "I gotta feed my family," I'd be like, "You shouldn't have stole, but I understand. You stealing this man's piece of shit car and, like, fucking up his dash and his sound system? Rude."
Just to hawk it for a couple hundred bucks.
Mm.
But the battle of addiction is real.
Mm. Yeah.
For a lot of people.
So one time I was over there with my brother, average build, average height, and our mutual friend Dave. Dave was 22 or so and is a huge dude. Probably like 6'2 or so and like 250 pounds.
Human tree.
Yeah. We decided to walk up to the gas station to get some snacks. This was at around 11:30 p.m. or so. As we were walking there along the sidewalk, barely had left the apartment, I noticed a few shadows walking right behind us, but didn't want to be weird and look at the people near us, so I just kept walking while the shadows kept walking behind us.
The opposite of what I would do at night. Like, I'm walking by myself at night, and I'm looking behind myself like I'm ready to get in a fist fight.
So I have kind of a super short side story. When I was in college, we got this sort of like substitute professor for a few weeks, and he was from New York. And he's a big guy too, really tall, broad-shouldered, and he played the bass. And mm-hmm. stand-up bass is a huge instrument, like it's taller than me.
She's real big.
And so he would have it on a little wheel, and he would kind of like roll it behind him. And when you're in New York, you'd be, like, walking around everywhere, right? You mm-hmm. take a cab or the bus, subway,
you walk. Most people don't own a car.
Right. So he's walking, and he's rolling his bass behind him, and there's this older gentleman in front of him, and he keeps, like, peeking over his shoulder, like, looking behind him at our professor. And finally the professor stops, and he's like, "Is everything okay? Like, you keep looking back here." And the guy finally turns all the way around and looks at him and sees this big-ass instrument that he has that's, like, on wheels. And he's like, "Oh!" And then in the most New York accent that I could possibly attempt, he goes, "I thought you was trying to stick me for my paper." So, I'm kind of in the middle on that. Like, I'll usually just start walking faster and do, like, a subtle look behind me. I'm not like, "Who's back there?" But I'll kind of do, like, that quick look and, like, speed walk away.
Okay, but when I'm walking, it's late as fuck at night, so. Mm-hmm,
that's true.
I'll flip around and scream in your face. Like, you gotta know that you're about to touch untapped, unhinged crazy.
I did have someone, like, kind of grab at me to stop me from going into the football stadium once, and I'm a martial artist, so I didn't, like, deck him or anything, but I did this, like,
disarm as fuck.
Sweep their arm out of the way and put my hand in front of me just in case. And, like, I think she might have pissed herself. Like, you could tell she was just some volunteer who was working the stadium at the weekend. And it was, like, just not the appropriate time to enter the stadium. There was a performance going on, but I didn't know that. And she was just trying to stop me. And I hadn't heard her the first, like, 2-3 times that she tried to be like, ma'am.
Honey, no. Honey.
And I was like, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to make sure you didn't go in. And I was like, please don't touch me. Like, I was trying not to be rude, but I was like, bitch, I almost killed you.
You done touched me without my permission, Susan.
For real. Then all of a sudden, I hear a shout, and then I black out.
No! I like the little emoji.
Yes, Ryan's story includes emojis, and they're great. I wake up maybe like 10 seconds later and realize I'm laying on the ground, and when I raise my head up and look around, I see my brother and our friend fighting on the ground with two guys in black hoodies with their hoods up.
Oh.
I get up onto my feet and try to run across the street just to get away from the situation so I could call for help. I get halfway across the street, but then turn around in a horseshoe shape and start running back to the brawl. I guess when I got knocked out, only half of my brain decided to work or something, so only one leg wanted to run while the other wasn't caught up.
It's like a fish that can only swim with one arm.
Dude, but I can confirm, like, after you have just come back from being, like, unconscious, like, everything's not working right yet, and you try to, like, get up and do stuff right away, when really you need to, like, sit and let things... But obviously he couldn't sit and let things readjust. He had to, like, he had to get up and go.
Oh my gosh. Like, when my dog crashed me off my bike, and I tried to get up and run into the street to grab him so he didn't kill the guy that we were trying to avoid.
I thought, oh, no, 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 this is not what I'm trying to do. I waited a few seconds, and luckily my body started working again, and I was able to run across the street and then run into a different complex where no one would be able to find me. I called 911 and told the operator what happened, and the lady said that she would send someone there but needed to know the address. My brother had only lived there for a few weeks so far, and I hadn't known the address or even the cross streets at the time. So I had to run back out to the sidewalk and then run as fast as I could to the closest intersection so I could tell them where to go. By the time this all happened, over 5 minutes or so had gone by, and I'm sure the fighting had to be over by then. I waited near the intersection until the cops showed up, and I guess an ambulance was sent too.
Well, yeah, you got domed.
Yeah, it's rough. They drove right by me and over to where the brawl happened, so they must have seen the commotion or something. When I finally got back to the area, the first person to approach me was a paramedic, who said that one of the people I was with most likely had a concussion, so I should keep my distance for a bit. After a couple of minutes, I don't remember what I did in that time, I went over to the ambulance and see that my brother is in the ambulance with blood all over his shirt and head.
Oh shit.
I guess that he was the one with a concussion from when they hit him in the back of the head with brass knuckles.
Ow!
Which is what a lot of the blood was from.
What the fuck?
Oh my gosh. Luckily, it was just a mild one, so after telling them the details of what happened, eventually they let all three of us go, and we went back to my brother's apartment where we exchanged stories, and I learned what happened. Yeah, that's the other thing about losing consciousness, is you're like, how long was I out? What happened during that time?
Who's the president now?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've had to answer questions for EMTs a couple of times. And both times I was able to answer them, but I was like sort of exasperated. They're like, what's your name? What's your birthday? Who's the president? What day is it? And I was just like, I know I hit my head real, real hard, but can we not do this?
One time when I passed out in Walmart, they're like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm on the floor in a Walmart. Can you fucking pick me up? Get my head off the floor in a Walmart. Can you put a towel under it or something?
Something.
And they're like, who's the president? And I'm like, my head is on the floor.
You're like, can we just get my head off the floor and then I'll answer any questions you have?
I was so upset.
Fair. That's fair. I guess two hooded guys approached us from behind and saw that there were three guys, one huge, and they figured at the same time they could knock my brother and myself out by punching us in the back of the skull with brass knuckles, and then they could both team up and take down the big guy. What the fuck?
So they, like, had to strategize because the other guy was so big.
Yeah. They punched my brother and I, but I guess my brother didn't go down? How? Brass knuckles, dude! Ouch!
That's impressive.
It's So their plan was screwed. I can't imagine getting hit in the back of the head with brass knuckles. Ooh.
That has to be terrible.
While I was on the ground, my brother and Dave both fought back at the hooded guys. My brother tackled one into the rocks and punched him in the lip.
Good.
Dave got pushed down to the ground by the other hooded guy as the attacker yelled out, "Give me all the money you have. I have a gun and I'll shoot you." He put his hand in his hoodie but never did pull out a gun, so I doubt he had one. People do that shit all the time.
So fucking rude.
And like, you don't want to take the risk in case they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dave just kept yelling back, "We don't have any money to give you." After a little time of fighting each other off, I think the hooded guys realized that the third victim, me, had gotten away and would probably have the cops here any moment. They probably didn't assume that it would take me so damn long to be able to tell the cops where I was located. So eventually the attackers decided to cut their losses and ran off. It turns out that Dave actually did have over $300 on him at the time, but said he had nothing. So, score.
Good on you, Dave.
Attackers left with nothing but a bloody lip and some bruises, and my brother and Dave got to leave with a cool story about how they fought off some muggers. And me? I got to leave with a terrific, heroic story of how I got sucker punched in the back of the head with brass knuckles and then ran away. You know what? You called the cops, you got the ambulance there, you were doing the most.
You did.
My brother tried to make me feel better by saying that the only reason the hooded guys ran off was because I got away to probably call the cops. So, thanks to my brother for trying to give me some credit.
Good on you, big bro.
I mean, I feel like you get some credit.
Yes.
You were a team. You were all in this together. Everybody had different roles, but everybody was important.
And you knew you were supposed to call the police, because you know how many people get involved in some shit and don't call the police?
Yeah, and like, still 3-on-2, it would be rough. Like, I don't know if you would, like, it would be
hard
to help.
And you were 13.
Yeah. Little. 18, yeah.
18, I'm sorry.
I went back to those apartments a few years ago, and I guess they are now much nicer student apartments, and the area is all cleaned up and well-lit and painted nicely. Hardian University isn't the sketchy town it used to be, so hooray for that.
Yay!
Come to think of it, we never got our snacks that night. Pissed.
Same. I'm mad for you. Fuck those guys, and damn, you didn't get your snacks? That's rude.
Gotta get punched in the back of the head and no snacks? Damn. Thank you, Ryan. Another great story. That one was a little more true crime related.
I dig it.
So yeah, that's it for our first listener tales. Thank you guys so much for sending those in. And like we said, if you have something, anything, even if you think it's not that interesting, or if it's like, well, this happened to a friend of mine, like, please send it in.
Even if you want to write us a creepypasta.
Yes. If you're an author or a writer, hint, hint, I know some of you listening right now, write us some spooky shit, a listener tale, a creepypasta, whatever. We
you
would
could even
love
tell
to
us
do
it's
that.
Real, and it doesn't have to be real.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your scary shit.
That's what
what's inside your brain.
Is, right? And that's it for this time, guys. Remember, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Bye!
Toodaloo!